Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. This is Brent Russett speaking, Pastor Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and I'm one of a team of four that get to share good news with you every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on CFRA. I grew up in the Ottawa Valley, and I've pastored in Ottawa for some 22 years now. One of the pleasures that I've had in the last 22 years is to see people really encounter God. When we encounter who God is, it has a way of changing us. This morning, I want to talk with you about encountering the love of God. But before we do that, we're going to hear from Sandy Patty in Let There Be Praise. I remember when I was a kid, our family took a trip out west, went to visit our aunt and uncle in Edmonton. My parents were quirky that way. There was no point in taking a holiday unless we were going to visit someone. So we drove and we drove and we drove to visit my aunt and uncle. And after we visited them, we thought, well, we're so close, we should go see the Rocky Mountains. Now, I had heard descriptions of the Rockies. I had seen nature documentaries on our 20-inch rabbit-ear-driven black-and-white TV. You know the kind of documentaries. The helicopter flies around through the passes of the Rocky Mountains. They look pretty good to me on our black-and-white television. On our trip, we drove past the foothills. And then, for the first time in my life, I encountered the Rocky Mountains. And they were blow-me-away beautiful. I'd seen them on my black-and-white television, but this was jaw-dropping, eye-popping, awe-inspiring, amazing. As we drove from Jasper to Banff, it was, look at that! Look at that! Do you see the color in that water? Look at the size of that mountain! This morning, I'm hoping to take you for a drive into the heart of God, where you really, really, really encounter His love. Let me tell you a little of my story. I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up singing the children's song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Ever since I was really young, I had heard about the love of God. One of the first verses I memorized in the Bible was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it's one thing to sing about the love of God, or to hear about the love of God. It's another thing entirely to really encounter the love of God. The love of God to me, when I was growing up, was kind of like seeing the Rocky Mountains on a black and white television. I believed it was true. I knew about it in my head. But until I encountered the love of God in person, I really didn't get it. Maybe you can relate. You know in your head that God loves you most of the times, on your good days. If you've been to church, you've probably sung about the love of God. And if I were to ask you, you would say, yes, God loves me, but you know that sense of His love doesn't go very deep. Well, I want to read to you today from one of the great passages of the Bible. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote in Romans chapter 8 this, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, he says, he goes on to say, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you. Let's listen to how deep the Father's love for us is on the Heart of Worship CD. And then I want to come back and unpack the scripture for you.
Beyond all measure, that sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His time.
If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? This passage of scripture in Romans 8 is so overwhelmingly positive that it's easy to gloss over the negatives. The passage asks a lot of questions. Who will be against us? Remember, this is the Apostle Paul writing. The one who was stoned, whipped, arrested, imprisoned, maligned, and hated. And he asks, who can be against us? What you need to understand is Paul is not saying that if you're a Christian that you will not experience opposition. He is saying that when God is on your side, the opposition will become less significant. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Well, the answer to that is quite clear. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He sees it as his role to accuse you. He will remind you of your past. He will remind you of the most shame-filled moments of your life. He will remind you of the moments that you are most prone to beat yourself up about. In fact, when you are beating yourself up about those things that you have done in your past, you and he are singing a duet together. But whether it is he or you who are bringing up charges, Paul says that compared to what Jesus did, that he died on the cross and that he rose again for you, he says those things are dealt with and gone, and there are no charges. There is no condemnation. The charges are gone. Scripture asks, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? Paul has experienced all of these, and most of us have experienced some of these. Now, what happens when you go through stuff that is hard? Whether it's poverty or grief or a difficult job or medical illness, we're tempted to say, where is God? But even when you feel far from God, God's love is still clinging to you. Paul says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've heard those verses before. I heard those verses before, and I believe them in my head. But it seems to be a long way between the head and the heart. Have you ever been there? You know the right answer, and it's easy to believe it for everyone else. It's just hard to believe it for you. Maybe your self-image is poor. You wonder if you are having trouble with you, how could God not have trouble with you? And while you're on the subject, why did God make me the way that I am? How is that love? Maybe you harbor some deep secrets that you don't want to acknowledge even to yourself. You think, if people knew who I was or what I was into and what I did last week, or if they knew my past and what I had done, they wouldn't really want to be around me. And if they wouldn't want to be around me, how can God love me? Maybe life has just beaten up on you. Life just hasn't gone like you thought it would. Abuse, divorce, illness, trauma, or bad luck has happened, and you somehow feel tainted. Oh, you put up a good front most of the time, but in those dark moments, you wonder how it is that God could really love you. Maybe you're just aware of the fact that you're one of 7 billion people on the planet Earth. If God's love is divided 7 billion ways, you figure, well, there can't be a whole lot left for you. The problem with all these scenarios is that they underestimate God. They underestimate the size and the power of His love. God can hear the prayers of 7 billion people at the same time, and it does not even tax His bandwidth. God knows the lives and hopes and dreams and heartaches of 7 billion people, and He can know how many hairs are on each person's head, and it's like simple arithmetic to Him. And so when it comes to God loving you, He sees you, He knows you better than you know yourself, and even when you can't see it, He sees what is lovable in you. He sees your value, He sees your worth, He sees you, and He loves you for you. In fact, He loves you so much that Christ died for you. So we look at our scripture passage, the love of God and the death of Christ are intimately connected. Verse 34 says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. When Christ died, He died for you." Please understand the bandwidth of that statement. God knows you well, and God loves you deeply, and the full work of Christ is ready to be applied to your life individually. When I was growing up, I had a poor self-image. It seemed that other people liked me more than I liked me. I figured God had to like me. As I said before, I believed in the love of God, but it was a long way between my head and my heart. It was kind of like viewing the Rocky Mountains on a black and white television. Through college and seminary, I was kind of the middle of the road kind of student, not at the top of the class, not at the bottom of the class. My social life seemed to be the same thing. I was neither popular nor unpopular. My spiritual life had the same mediocre quality to it. I knew God, but I got down on myself for blowing it so often. I was very aware of the verse, "To whom much had been given, much was required," and I felt like I had been given much, yet I wasn't doing much. But there was one day. One day I was reading 1 John, and the passage opened up and said, "God is love." And somehow the immensity of the love of God, the sheer size of God, and that He could know everyone else, but He could also know me personally, came into focus. The death of Christ and the power of the cross, and that God could deal with the whole world, and that He could also deal with me personally, intimately, came into my understanding in a way that I never saw before. I moved from a black and white TV perspective into a person up close perspective. It came into focus and it blew me away. It's the same for you. Hear me, God loves you deeply, personally. Your faults haven't surprised Him, your sin hasn't surprised Him, but the depth of His love will surprise you. This morning I would encourage you to pray, "God, I hear about your love. I want to believe it for me. Jesus, come to me and show me how to encounter the love of God the Father." This morning I'm going to pray for you, and then I want to tell you one of the great pictures of God's love from the Bible. Lord Jesus, I pray that as people come and see who they are, but more see who you are, I ask, Lord, that you would show them the immensity of your love, the bandwidth of your love, the sheer size of your love, so that they could encounter your love afresh and anew, or some people will be encountering it for the first time. May they know how much you really care for them. One of the great pictures in the New Testament of God's love is found in the story that Jesus told about the prodigal son. There were this man, he had a son, but the son was not interested in staying with the father anymore. In a rather gruff manner, he said to the father, "Give me my inheritance now, and I'm out of here," and he left. He lived the kind of life that when he got a little older would fill him with shame anytime he thought of it. But the father kept on waiting. He had heard rumors of his son. He had heard rumors of what his son was into, and the father kept on waiting. Finally, the son came to his senses. He had run through all his money. He was down on his luck, and he thought, "Well, I have lived this way that would make my father cringe, and it makes me cringe, but I don't have any money. Maybe I'll go home, and I don't really expect Dad to care about me, but maybe he would employ me." But as the father saw the son coming from a long way off, he ran towards him. He hugged him. He forgave him. He embraced him. He loved him. That, my friend, is a picture of God. He wants to embrace you. Thank you, listeners, for your kind words of encouragement to the four of us who have been bringing God's word to you each Sunday morning. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. There are several ways of accessing our program. If you have Rogers Cable, you will find it on channel 927 at 6:30 on Sunday mornings, as well as over this radio station. Also, I encourage you to visit our website or follow us on Twitter or comment on our blog. It's Good News in the Morning. Look it up on Google. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside in deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to end this show by playing the song, "Does Jesus Care?" It's a duet by George Beverly Shea and Guy Penrod.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and have failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are
Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights I know my Savior cares. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios